Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are murder, kidnapping, and explicit sexual content.
And I have an Apple review, and this comes from Haley Bear, and it says, love y'all so much. Literally love these girls. I wait every week for a new episode to come out. I've showed everyone but my mom y'all show. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cutie.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Loving a Vampire is Total Chaos by Aura Hayes. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 4. I liked it. It was cute, fluffy. Yeah, nothing wrong on my end.
I gave it a 4.5 because I loved the banter between the two main characters, and I thought it was really witty and cute. Like, cute little rom-com.
Ooh.
I also gave it a 4. I have this new thing because of this book where I'm like, I want like a psychotic golden retriever MMC for every book. He's so sweet, but he's a psychopath.
He's a psycho.
Ooh.
But he's the cutest. He's the cutest little psychopath. Also a ginger with glasses.
Our first ginger?
Yeah, and he has glasses.
Ooh.
So the story opens up in Xavier's point of view. Even after 300 years, the sound of grown men begging for mercy still brings a smile to Xavier's face. He's a vampire, and he's on some vampire vigilante shit right now. What was a party of 40 men is now down to a one single person left. Peter.
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 That's a pretty good Lois.
Thank you.
Peter's begging for his life, offering Xavier money, anything, so he doesn't get killed and dismembered like the rest of the men before him. A few things about Xavier is he's a lover and a hopeless romantic. He's got the heart of gold if he had a heart. Peter kidnaps women and sex traffics them, so there's no way in hell that he's gonna let this man live.
Oh, kill him.
Xavier was in a relationship once and literally never again because this bitch was so crazy, it like swore him off of women forever.
He's one of those. You can't trust a hoe.
My ex was crazy.
Girls, women,
females.
There you go.
Xavier decapitates Peter like the rest of the men, and when he hears sirens coming close, he assembles all the heads how he wants them and draws his signature symbol with the blood and body parts and then escapes.
Cute.
Vampires don't have fingerprints, and the serial killer that these cops have been trying and failing to find for years is Xavier. He was about to leave until he sees the cop get out of the car and it stops him dead in his tracks.
A flash of brown hair catches my eye, swinging around a woman's shoulders in a curtain of glossy darkness that resembles a raven's wing, and my heart stops. I watch enraptured as she exits the car with toned legs, encased in dark, skin-tight jeans and black boots. I'm no stranger to attractive women, but it's like there's a magnetic pull leading me toward this one. I want to gather her hair back as it starts to stick to her face, slick from the pouring rain. Hardened eyes scan the scene. I can't pinpoint exactly what color her irises are. Vampirism isn't a cure for everything, and my shit eyesight carried over when I was changed. It's not entirely a bad thing since I can pull off a pair of glasses like nobody's business.
How shitty, though. You'd get turned into a vampire and you just still have shitty eyes.
Yeah, I thought they're supposed to be like perfect. Perfect vision, perfect skin.
Nope.
He gets in a fight and his glasses get thrown off, and he's like, damn!
He's like, ah, my
my glasses. I can't see without my glasses.
This is Celine Brennan's first case since being promoted as a detective at 26 years old. She's at the crime scene looking at a fucked up attempt of a smiley face with fangs. So that's his signature.
With like dismembered body parts and shit. Ooh.
As she's taking in this grueling scene, the captain's like, yeah, so you should know this is kind of normal. We low-key have a serial killer that leaves his victims like this and always uses the same signature. There have been 3 mass murders this month alone and all the victims have been criminals. So he's kind of like Dexter.
Yeah, but if I was the cops, I'd be like, thank you. Thank you for helping us.
So because vampires don't have fingerprints, only footprints have been caught, and it's always the same shoe size. And one person committing all these crimes does not make sense, and it's almost impossible. So they're like, there has to be a group of people that are doing this. Later, Celine gets home to feed her cat that has been inherited to her, and its name is Midnight. It's a very sassy black cat that, like, actually low-key hates her. Every time she, like, tries to talk to it, it, like, hisses and scratches her.
I think I'd like a cat like that.
A spicy cat?
Yeah.
Midnight is her father's cat. Her dad has dementia, and during one of his last lucid moments, he wished for Celine to take care of his best friend. Celine's mom, his wife, ran for the hills and left them when his condition started getting serious. She was only 18, and she hasn't talked to her mom since.
Wow, what a cunt.
Celine has a bestie, Ava, that works at the police station with her, and they went to their local coffee shop one morning, and as they were talking about her dad, the conversation got hella depressing, so Ava slams down a flyer from her purse on the counter. It's of a new club named Vex, and it's opening up soon downtown, and she tells her she wants to go and have some fun with Celine. Celine was 100% going to decline, and that was until she heard from Luna, the barista, that the new nightclub is apparently a front for sex trafficking. Xavier is currently torturing a man for Celine Brennan, and she doesn't even know him. He takes his phone out and shows the man a picture of him and Celine talking, and he's like, why were you talking to her? And the man's like, dude, she's like a random girl that I thought I could hook up with. I literally don't even know her. And he's like, oh, so you thought you could get with her? You want to know what I think?
His humorous bone snaps under my shoe. That I don't want a filthy creature like you. His fingers crunch with ease in my hand, touching what belongs to me.
He's insane. I love him.
I mean, yeah, hot, but like, she doesn't even know you.
No.
But he knows her.
But that's his pookie. Xavier kills a man, not wanting to be away from his pookie one moment longer. And he's been, like, stalking her ever since he saw her that one night at the crime scene. So he just watches her from the shadows.
Cute.
Before Xavier knows what he's doing, he's standing in front of Celine's apartment building, following her scent all the way to her apartment door. He's standing there, just taking it all in. He's straight up fantasizing about a lovely reunion, her running into his arms, like they've known each other for years, him swinging her in the air, and then he hears a man next to him clear his throat, and he's like, can I help you? He lies and says that he's Celine's cousin, Trent, who's visiting from California, and she gave him the wrong key. They share introductions, and the man says that his name is Corey. And Corey lives, of course, right next door to her, and he has a bunch of bags in his hands, so Xavier takes one of the bags from him and helps him inside his apartment. Once inside, Xavier does a cute little tour, and Corey is obviously uncomfortable. He's like, hey, dude, not to be rude, and I appreciate all your help, but can you go? Because he's just, like, hanging out in this guy's apartment.
Oh my god, yeah, I'd be like, leave.
Xavier says, of course, one question. Do you ever talk to Celine? And Corey tells him that he's tried asking her out before, but she declined and that she's kind of frigid. Xavier knows that if Celine passed on him, she must have had a good reason. So he said, perfect, then I don't feel bad about doing this at all. And punches him square in the face for talking poorly about his pookie. Only he punched him so hard he accidentally killed him.
Oh my god.
Teehee oopsie.
Xavier throws Corey out the side window. He just like yeets him out of the window of the apartment. And messages his cleanup man that there's a body to dispose of. After Corey goes bye-bye, Xavier's vamp ears pick up on Celine on the phone with Ava talking about the club and their plans to go tomorrow. Not only to party, but also to snoop because of the alleged sex trafficking front. And this has his interest instantly piqued. Ava has a boyfriend, Spencer, and because they're so happy and in love, Ava often worries for her single friend because she's such a recluse and takes care of everyone else besides herself. Ava promises to keep her eyes and ears open while they're clubbing. She will try to open up to more people, and Ava says deal. Inside the club, they do some shots and dancing, and Ava tells her to go and try and find a hottie. Celine does like some awkward shimmying by herself, like scouting the room when she's dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when an arm sneaks around her and hears, relax, murmured in her ear.
Oh.
Normally, she would definitely not relax, but this voice, it's almost like the second she heard it, time stopped, and it instantly soothed her. She can't see her mystery man, but she doesn't need to in order to know that this feels right. He asks her to dance with him and he promises that he doesn't bite. Because she promised Ava she would open up a little bit, she leans back against him and starts grinding.
My heart rate picks up under his touch, and by the feeling of hardness against my ass, he's just as affected by me as I am him. Such a good girl, he croons, and a soft moan escapes me at his words. Oh my god, on the dance floor.
I'd be like, oh, we gotta go.
As if Xavier wasn't obsessed with Celine before, he's totally fucked now. He's already so pussy whipped and she doesn't even know he exists still.
My teeth nip her ear, allowing myself a small taste of forbidden fruit. Her small moans drive me crazy as we continue to grind against each other. I'm practically humping her like a dog, and I'd let her leash me any day.
Hump her like a dog.
Xavier decides that he wants Celine as addicted to him as he is to her. He hears Ava call Celine's name over the music with his vampire hearing, and he decided now's a perfect time to leave her wanting more. So he caresses her cheek without having her see him and then walks away. When Ava went to the bathroom, she heard yelling through the vents and told Celine she got some serious tea. She overheard someone fighting about a delivery of sangre gone wrong. She tells Celine and Spencer that sangre is the Spanish word for blood. Detective Celine tried and failed to get into the room where they heard the arguing. She acted like she was a drunk girl looking for the bathroom, but she quickly gets shut down and threatened. The next day, Ava decides she's going to set Celine up on a blind date with Spencer's cousin, Asher. Celine brings up her sexy dance partner from last night, but since she didn't even see the man, she approved of the date. Celine goes to Vex, the nightclub, by herself to do some recon during the day. She finds nothing suspicious, except for when she gets back to her car and starts driving home, she notices that she's being tailed, and she loses them as she pulls into her underground apartment garage. Like, why would you go home?
Yeah, no.
But she's a detective. She can just pull out her gun and be like, boo-boo!
That's true.
I still wouldn't go home.
I'd drive around like crazy.
You go to your nearest police station.
Her work.
Yeah.
She's still super on edge, and when she gets to her floor, she does a full scan of the hall and then turns and runs face first into someone. She grabs her gun and instantly clocks it. He has his hands in the air, and he's like, hey, take it easy, I'm your new neighbor. Please don't shoot me. And she apologizes and takes in the man in front of her.
His red hair curls over his forehead boyishly and tapers down the back of his neck. Rogue strands fall into his eyes, and I resist the urge to swipe them away. An adorable pair of glasses rest on his nose and act like a window into his oddly vivid green eyes. He's dressed in an outfit very similar to mine, a sweater and pants in all black. A thin silver chain peeks out from the collar of his sweater.
He sounds cute.
He sounds so cute.
Yes.
He has a pizza in his hands and asks her if she wants to eat with him, and she's like, no, stranger danger. He apologizes for coming off strong and tells her that he just moved in and knows no one. She thinks on it and decides she has had a shit week and did just pull a gun on the man, so she agrees to pizza. He introduces himself as Xavier, but his friends can call him Zave, and when they shake hands, there's an instant spark between them. Inside his apartment, he goes to take his sweater off, and of course, the shirt rides up and he's jacked.
His t-shirt rides up, revealing smooth alabaster skin. Divots of muscle showcase his most likely frequent gym visits. My core clenches.
Kegel.
It's a little pussy squeeze.
Yeah. They eat their pizza together and start to slowly get to know each other. And the next thing she knows, she's just straight up trauma dumping all of her family issues to him. She's like, yeah, so that's how my dad has dementia.
My mom left me.
Xavier's loving this because he wants to know every possible detail about her because he's obsessed with her. Xavier has a best friend and his name is Tom. He's old as fuck and basically blind and deaf due to his age. They met 60 years ago and they've been best friends ever since. Due to Tom's aging and his poor sight, he doesn't realize that Xavier has not aged and has stayed the same, or if he has, he's never brought it up. He's telling Bessie Tom that he's straight up in love with Celine and that he would do anything for her, even have her babies. And he takes out this trusty little notebook that he carries around with him, and it's called Goals in My Long Life with Celine. Oh. And then he writes down, breed Celine.
Oh my goodness.
It's raining and he gets back into his car, and before he heads out, he pulls out his little notebook again and writes, make sure Celine always wears a seatbelt. Safety is hot.
Yeah, it is.
The more time that passes, the more he's absolutely sure Celine is his mate. And to have a human mate with a vampire is very rare.
That's his girl.
So supernaturals are a thing, and when heavy, consistent rainfall happens, it's a sign of a large gathering of creatures in one area. And they've been having a lot of really heavy rainfall lately. Xavier will tell Celine what he is in the near future because that's his girl, and he can change her whenever she's ready, and they can live happily together forever. Once back home, he uses his vamp senses and confirms that no one is in Celine's apartment, and then does some cute breaking and entering. He makes fast friends with Midnight and sees that she has clothes that need to be folded and put away, so he decided to do laundry for her. And and secretly pockets a pair of her chonies.
Wow, I'd love that.
He ends up getting carried away and cleans the entire apartment for her.
A gentleman.
Ugh. Imagine coming home and your apartment's just like spotless.
If he wanted to, he would.
Someone broke in, but like, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's clean.
I'd be like, come over. You want a key?
He sees on her calendar on her fridge that she has written down she's supposed to go on a double date tomorrow, and Xavier is beside himself. He straight up starts blaming the cat, and he's like, Midnight, how could you let this happen?
The cat's like, meow, 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 meow.
When Celine gets home, she notices that her house is clean and her laundry's done, but she's like, no one's going to break in just to clean my house.
I would be spiraling. I mean, yeah, I'd be grateful, but I'd be like, I have dementia.
Celine met her date Asher, and they both met Ava and Spencer at the bowling alley for their double date. When they go to grab their shoes, she hears a very familiar voice. And guess who's working at the bowling alley? Xavier. He hands her shoes before she even tells him what size she is, and she's like straight up giving him major side eye. He sabotages Asher's first round by sneezing loudly and throwing off his bowl, and throughout the date she can feel his eyes on her. Asher leaves for the bathroom, and Ava asks how it's going, and she tells her friend he's nice, but there's just no spark between them, and then instantly thinks about Xavier. Just when she was thinking about where Asher was, she feels a tap on her shoulder. Xavier hands her a note saying Asher gave this to him to give to her before he ran out, and it's basically a note saying that he had a family emergency and that he had to go.
He's dead, isn't he?
He had a family emergency.
But one of his family members is there, so like,
I know. It's Spencer's cousin, so like,
Spencer's there. Why wouldn't Spencer also go? Yeah.
It's on his mom's side.
Uncle Jerry's dead?
Yeah. Since her and Asher rode together, Xavier offers to take her home since his shift coincidentally just ended. Bestie Ava's like, excuse me, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm her new neighbor. And she's gagged that her best friend left out the important fact that she's a smoking hot new neighbor. As they were driving home, Celine brushed an eyelash off of Xavier's cheek while he was driving. And this was like their first skin-to-skin contact. And he's literally like about to jizz in his pants while driving.
Oh, he's gonna cream.
He's so horned up that his fangs come out. And Celine's like, are you okay? And he's like, like trying to hide his mouth. And I just pictured Edward Cullen in Twilight, like in the science scene when he's just like holding his nose.
Yeah. He calls him his fang boner.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do I need to drive? Do you want to stop? The concern in her voice amplifies and I curse myself for worrying her. Wait, she's worried about me? If I could blush, I most certainly would be. My sweet girl's worried about me when all that's wrong is me wanting to take her to Pound Town and mark her as mine. Take her to Pound Town.
When they get to the parking garage, Xavier ends up dropping her off at the elevator because even though he doesn't have to feed often due to his age, all the last blood that he had just went straight to his vampire dick, so he's got to go pick up some blood ASAP. And guess who his blood supplier is? Barista Luna, who's also a vampire.
Luna!
She runs a coffee shop by day and a blood bar by night.
Oh, cool.
She's making that money.
Yeah, girl, honestly. Hustle.
A hustler.
Celine goes to visit her dad, as she always goes at least once a month, and things were as good as they could be until he got irate and yelled at her for taking his cat and that she took away his best friend. She leaves right after, super duper defeated and heartbroken, and is zombie-like until she sees her apartment, and before she can make it in, she just has a full-blown mentee bee, like, sliding down the walls, hugging her knees and rocking herself.
Been there.
She hears a door open and close and looks up to see Xavier looking at her with empathy. He opens his arms to her in a silent invitation, and she wastes no time throwing herself into him. As he lets her grieve in his arms, Celine can't help but think maybe he needs his comfort just as much as she does. Bestie Ava comes over to help console her after the emotional day, and when Ava asks why she doesn't go on a date with Xavier, they hear several loud bangs coming from his room next door. Celine instantly rushes over, and he cracks the door open, and she's like, are you okay? Like, we heard some bangs. And he opens the door, and she sees that his face is bleeding. So she rushes inside and gets a wet washcloth and starts taking care of him. They have a cute, intimate moment, and she steps further into him, and he wraps his hands around the back of her thighs. But bestie Ava ruins the moment, and she's like, yeah, my girl wants you to take her out on a date. And before Celine could say anything else, he said he would love to. When she asked what happened, he got hella quiet and shy, and he was like, I fell off my chair and hit my head.
How embarrassing.
Ava tells Zave she's glad he's okay, and he tells Celine, if your bestie can call me Zave, why do you call me Xavier? She tells him she hardly knows him, and he tells her his last name is Lockwood, and she better remember it because it's gonna be hers someday. And then he tells her he'll pick her up Saturday for their date.
Oh my God.
Xavier goes to bestie Tom for date advice, and he wants everything to be perfect. Tom suggests the pier and dinner in a movie, but not to worry too much because showing that he put thought and effort into it will be enough for her. He starts coughing and Xavier is truly sad that Tom is aging because that's his best friend and one of the sweetest souls he's ever met.
It's funny because Tom calls him Zach instead of Zav.
They've been friends for 60 years.
They like bond over chess game. So every time he goes to see him, they always play chess together.
I love that. That is so cute.
The next day at work, a beautiful woman named Genevieve comes in saying she needs to speak to a detective, so Celine sits her down. Genevieve and her friend Katie were at Vex the other night, and they left separately, but Genevieve hasn't heard from Katie since. She's a mess and asks Celine if she can get her friend back, and Celine says she'll do everything she can, but she's shook that the girl is missing from Vex, because remember, she thinks that there is a human trafficking front going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl is in turmoil. She's like snot running down her face, mascara smeared. She's like, find my friend.
I would be too, girl.
Celine heads over to investigate the surrounding businesses and stops into a neighboring pottery shop. But she's shocked to see that none other than Xavier is leading one of the pottery classes.
Oh, of course. He's everywhere.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
She demands to know what he's doing here, and he says he works here. He started today. And she's like, do you work everywhere? And he says, something's got to pay the bills.
The man's not wrong.
He just worked at the bowling alley like 2 days ago. He's like, since you're here, let's get dinner. And she's hesitant, but says fine, after she goes home and changes. She accidentally slips and calls him Zav, which makes him giggle like a schoolgirl. So she huffs and storms out, super confused about this weird-ass dude.
Yeah, he is kind of weird.
He's hella weird. He beats her back to her apartment to get a pep talk from Midnight and sneaks back into his own place when he hears the elevator door coming up. He just vampire speed runs through the city just to go see the cat real quick. He gives her a few minutes to get ready and then he heads over to pick her up. When she opens the door, she's looking hot as heck and Zav is speechless. They get into his car and when he senses her arousal, he gets both a fang boner and a regular boner.
Oh my god, all the boners.
He has to think about dead puppies and pineapples just to get himself under control.
Jesus.
They drive to Willis Tower that he had completely rented out for their date tonight. He has the whole deck lit with candles and decorated with rose petals and a picnic basket sat in the middle. And of course, she asks him how the hell he can afford all of this.
Yeah.
He was just running a pottery shop. He works at the bowling alley.
He can't be making much.
He tells her that he has family money and he just works random jobs to keep busy. Celine starts to dig into the food while Zav pours them champagne and it's so delicious. She lets out a moan and asks if he cooked all of this. And of course he did. He says he spent lots of time refining his cooking skills. They start getting to know each other and eventually Zav just starts repeating all of her answers to his questions, saying that his favorite season is also fall. His least favorite food is also pickles. His favorite book is also 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah.
He says, what you like, I like, baby.
She calls him out and he's like, you don't even know if I'm lying. Maybe I really like to get kinky in the bedroom. She tells him to tell her something real now and he tells her his parents died and he never got to say goodbye. Now they're holding hands and she thanks him for sharing that with her and confesses she's scared that she's doomed to be a perpetual people pleaser and she doesn't even know if her job is what she really wants to be doing with her life. It starts to get too intense between the two of them, so Celine asks if they can step out and watch the thunderstorm going on outside. They sit down together and Zav is shocked when Celine rests her head on his shoulder and he thanks her for coming out with him tonight despite how strong he can come on. She looks at him and sweeps a lock of hair out of his face and then leans in for a kiss. It quickly turns into a makeout with dry humping and then she feels a prick at her lip and Zav is licking her blood.
With another quick swipe of his tongue, I'm consumed by pleasure. My fingers run through his silky crimson strands and I pull on the silver chain around his neck just enough for a bite of pain to leave him whimpering under me, asking for
for more. I love that sound. A man who whimpers and moans for his woman is such a turn-on. While I love to be dominated, sometimes I also love to do the dominating. My sexual history isn't extensive by any means, but enough for me to know a few of my kinks. All right, Miss Girl.
He starts to kiss on her neck, and then he gives her a big fat hickey, saying that he's marked her now. He flips her onto her back and gets on top of her and tells her she's splayed out beneath him, just in time for dessert.
I'm hard as a fucking rock. I'm talking dick absolutely weeping, steel rod in my pants, borderline moaning mess. The whole nine yards. All it took was Celine's body laid out in front of me, and now I'm having a hard time keeping my vampire instincts under lock. My stupid fang boner already popped with the initial excitement of our kiss. Dick absolutely weeping. I hate that visual.
He reins it in and says he means actual dessert, because when he officially makes her his, it'll be in a plush bed, not here. Besides, he made creme brulee.
Oh.
As they eat it, she gets a phone call from Captain Barnes, who breaks the news to her that someone just broke into her apartment. They cut the date short, and Zav drives her over there, where the captain tells her all they have is a grainy photo of a mystery man. Her entire apartment is completely ransacked. Midnight is fine, but there's blood splattered all over her bathroom vanity. The detectives on the scene take a sample to bring back to the lab, and Zav tells her she can stay with him, and the captain tells her to take a few days off of work. Zav brings her next door and tells her she can have his bed and he'll take the couch. As Zav snuggles up to midnight, he tells the cat to get comfy because neither him or his owner will be leaving. And this cat absolutely fucking hates Celine and is just snuggle buggling with Zav on the couch.
Loves yeah. Zav.
The cat just knows there's something between them.
The next morning, Celine heads over to her boxing class to get some frustration out, but one of the girls tells her there's a new teacher and he's hot as hell. It's Zav.
Oh my god.
He said, where you go, I go, baby.
After class, he drives her home and hands her the phone, telling her to order some Mexican to be delivered, and she asks for his passcode. And his passcode is her birthday.
Oh my god.
She thinks it's a weird coincidence, and then Ava texts her reminding her she's coming over for a girl date. But Zav crashes the girl date, and they all do face masks together.
Oh, cute.
After Celine goes to bed, Zav has a state-of-the-art security system installed so she'll be safe. The next day, they hang out together with crazy sexual tension, but nothing happens. After she falls asleep for the night, Zav gets a text from Death's assistant telling him that he has a new target, so Zav sneaks out knowing his Pookie's safe because of his security system.
What a man.
He heads over to a hotel owned secretly by a group of supernaturals where his contact hands him a folder with all the info on his target. His next stop is a dilapidated building where Frank Denvers is hiding. This man is a piece of shit murderer, and Zav can already smell a fresh body. Zav sneaks up on Frank and tells him he's a dead man for killing all those women. Frank is freaking the fuck out, and Zav tells him they're playing hide and seek, so he'd better run. And while Frank is booking it, trying to get away, Zav pulls out his phone and just starts playing a round of Sudoku.
Yeah.
And as soon as the game's over, he finds Frank hiding in a dumpster in a nearby alley. He drags Frank back to the house and tortures him until he dies, and then leaves the body with his classic signature for the cops to find. He heads back to the apartment to be with Celine, but is accosted by a feral vampire outside the front door of the building. They get into a brawl, and Zav takes it to a nearby alley to finish it off, but the only way to kill him is a stab through the heart. And I guess the longer you're a vampire, the smaller your heart gets. So since this one's pretty fresh, it's pretty easy to kill. But since Zav is super old, his heart is like basically non-existent.
Oh, so he's hard to kill.
Yeah, because he's got a tiny little heart.
But a big dick.
Yeah.
The fight between the two of them is wild because feral vampires are strong and mindless. He manages to grab a street sign and he takes the vampire out, just stabs him through the chest with a street sign.
Ugh.
But before the feral vampire finally dies, it swipes out at Zav, slashing his stomach with his venom. And now Zav has to skedaddle back home for his blood bag before he's paralyzed and unable to heal. He passes out just as he reaches his front door and he's fading fast.
Celine, my mate, this can't be the end. She doesn't know how big of a dick I have yet. I'm going to die and she doesn't even know. This is the worst. Yeah, that's terrible.
Celine hears the thud and comes running to investigate. She finds Zav passed out and he simply moans that he needs blood. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? She sees that he's hella fucked up and she's freaking out. She says she's calling an ambulance, but he says, no, I need blood. And he gives her the passcode to his safe that holds his emergency blood bags. She's confused, but does what he says. And when she gets back, she's like, I'm not a nurse. I can't do a transfusion. But he's like, no, I need to drink it.
Oh my God.
She hands him the bag and he slams it and she watches in shock as his wounds start to stitch closed. She tells herself that surely this is a dream, but when she wakes up in the morning, she realizes it was very, very real. Zav begs her to go to Luna and get more blood for him. He's still hurting really, really badly. And she's like, you need to explain what the fuck is going on. And he says he'll tell her everything after she gets him the blood. Celine goes to the Bean Hive, which is the name of the coffee shop, which she now knows also sells blood, which blows her mind. And she tells Luna what's going on. She can tell that Luna knows exactly what is happening and demands answers, but Luna refuses to tell her until Zav does. I think she's like a pretty good homie.
Yeah.
Selena's thinking this is some weird blood-drinking cult, but Luna hands her the blood bags and tells her to hear Zav out because he's absolutely crazy about her. She takes the blood back to the apartment and yells for Zav, saying he better not be fucking dead because she still has to interrogate him on what the fuck is going on.
I haven't gotten to go down on you yet. How could I pass away? He questions, and I marvel at his ability to be flirty even in the state he's in now. What a gentleman.
He's like, I can't die. I haven't eaten your puss yet.
Yeah.
She throws the blood at him and he drinks it hungrily as the color returns to his skin. And then he's like, okay, I'm a vampire.
Surprise.
She thinks he's joking, but then she considers everything she's seen and she's like, okay, maybe this is a real possibility. You think you could believe him?
If I saw like the wounds with my own eyes stitched back together, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, holy fuck.
I'm Bella Swan. She asks him to prove it, so he gets up and walks to her, but she's afraid, so she backs away. He gets really sad and begs her not to do that, and then he lets his fangs out. She's mesmerized and thinks he looks even more beautiful with them. She asks if he's gonna hurt her, but he says no, he'd never hurt her. He'd rather die. She says if he really needed blood, then he should have just drank from her since he's a vampire and all.
I couldn't, especially right then. If I drank from you, it wouldn't end any other way than with my cock inside your pussy. His filthy words send a flush of heat through my chest. Like I said before, you deserve more than that. I also refuse to take you to bed and fully claim what's mine until you've accepted what I am and you're okay with it. I know right now you aren't. Snaps for the gentleman.
Then she cracks a joke and asks if he deposits his checks at the blood bank. He laughs and this breaks the ice, so he tells her everything. He's 300 years old and was turned in 1725 when he was 26 years old. Vampires were actually created by medical testing gone wrong, but the memory of being a test subject is very painful for him. She pulls him close and tells him he's okay, she's got him. Then they get to work on cleaning up the apartment. As they're scrubbing the blood off the floors, Celine gets a text from Ava that the serial killer left another victim for them, and Zav is like, perfect, today is bring your spouse to work day, so let's go.
Little does she know.
She says fine, but he has to stay in the car. On the elevator ride down to the lobby, they have a sexy almost moment where he cages her with his fangs out, but despite her arousal, she pushes him off. They head to the crime scene even though Celine is supposed to be taking time off, and the captain tells her that regarding her apartment break-in, he found some CCTV footage of the perp leaving Vex, the nightclub that she's so suspicious of.
Oh.
And then she gets the rundown on the murder victim at the scene, Frank Denvers. But this time, instead of the body being staged as a smiley face, it's staged as a heart. Cute.
He's in love.
He is.
She discusses the change in the MO with the captain, and he's like, well, maybe the murderer got a girlfriend. And now Celine's like, shit. Like, it couldn't be. But like, is it?
Oh my God.
The captain tells her there's not really anything else for her to do here, so go ahead and continue with her time off. She gets back into her car where Zav tells her there's somewhere he wants to take them before they head home. He brings her to meet Tom.
Cute.
Bestie Tom.
She immediately loves Tom and has a new soft spot for Zav after seeing their special friendship. Tom tells her about his late wife and how much he loved her and how life is too short to not be with the person you love. Also, he keeps calling her Francine.
Yeah.
Tom.
When it's time to leave, Zav knows he needs to tell Celine that they're mates because he wants to get started on forever with her. A few days later, Celine heads back to work early to investigate the Vex case, and she finds Ava crying in the bathroom about her boyfriend Spencer getting a new job in California, and she just can't leave Chicago. Celine comforts her, and then Ava demands to know the deets on what's going on after her date with Zav. She doesn't want to spill everything, so she's like, we've only kissed and that's it, and then they head back to work. They head to their normal lunch spot on their break, and guess who their waiter is?
Zav.
It's Zav. He tells her he just missed his pumpkin too much, and he picked up another job. And Ava is absolutely tickled by this. She thinks it's hilarious.
I would love that.
Just everywhere you go, your boyfriend works there.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God, hey, baby.
Ava gets a call from Spencer that she has to take, so she excuses herself. And of course, Zav takes her seat and just wants to let her know that he really loves having her at his place and he doesn't want her feeling like she ever has to move out. She's a light in his life, and she comes in second place right after midnight. He loves the cat. Then he pays their bill and gets back to work. Back at the precinct, Celine speaks to the head of the Vex case, and it's someone named Detective Waters. A girl was found murdered today, and while there are no explicit ties to Vex, she's pretty sure it's connected. An anonymous caller tipped them off on where to find the body, and they realize it's the missing girl that Genevieve girl came in reporting as a missing person, Katie.
Aww.
She gets home and slumps on the couch, and Zav says to tell Daddy what's going on. She tells him she just doesn't know what kind of detective she is if she can't solve this Vex case. He holds her while they sit together, and then she starts to feel the sparks of arousal between them. They start kissing, which leads to making out, and then some boob grabbing, and soon her shirt is on the floor. He asks what she wants, and she says she wants him to bite her. He hesitates, and she's like, it won't turn me, right? And he's like, no, but... And she says, just do it. He decides he must tell her and confesses to her that they're mates. And she's like, okay, what the fuck does that even mean? And he says their souls call to each other. It's the purest form of love you can have. Now she's upset because she thinks this all must be fake and he's only doing this because they're destined to be together. But he assures her that this couldn't be further from the truth. He likes her for her and he knows she feels it too. He says he will bite her one day because he's heard that mate's blood is quite the aphrodisiac.
Imagine both my teeth and my cock holding you captive. She hums at the promise in my words. It'll be worth the wait.
He tells her he wants her to be 100% on board before he bites her, and she nods. Then he gives her a gift he made for her. A knife for protection, and the handle's engraved with butterflies, and she loves it.
That's so cute.
The next day, when Celine, Ava, and Zav are all hanging out, Celine tells them that they need to go back to the club because she has the strongest gut feeling about it. That night rolls around, and once they're there, they have Ava scope out the bar and listen while her and Zav hit the dance floor to do some recon, but also play the part of club attendees, which I'm like, you guys need to grind to do that, but...
Oh no, they have to grind.
Oh no, not that. As they dance, he flips her, so her back is to his front, and it feels very familiar to the first time she went to the club. She tries to confront him about being the mystery man the last time she was here, but he does not confirm or deny. They dance some more, but nothing stands out, so they find a table. Ava meets them there, but Celine tells them she has to run to the restroom, and as she's finishing up washing her hands, she hears voices from the vent, and one is very familiar. One of the voices belongs to Genevieve. So
oh my
Genevieve
goodness.
Is in that room talking to
that
someone.
That little bitch.
But she was so sad about Katie.
That lying cunt.
Celine tries to act normal and heads back to the table, but Zav immediately can tell that something's wrong. Ava goes to get them one last drink for the night, but Celine needs to distract herself. She runs a hand up Zav's thigh to his crotch.
He doesn't pull it away, though. Instead, he holds it prisoner, resting against his hardening cock. A streak of boldness has me squeezing him, and I balk at the girth I feel against my hand. He's huge. His hold doesn't allow me much room, but I stroke him as much as I can within his confines. A whimper so low, I almost miss it, comes out of his throat.
A little whimper.
He goes,
Thank you for that. She needs a distraction, so she's like, give me that dick. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's working.
She is so turned on and starts to give him a hidden booth handy.
Slay.
Yeah, we've all been there.
We have.
Celine tells him that he better finish before Ava comes back with their drinks.
If you think getting caught by Ava is a motivator for me to hurry up, you're sorely mistaken. But I know it makes you panic, so I'll be a good boy and come. Both our hands work him, squeezing and rubbing up and down, twisting when we near the head. It's like the rapid beat of my heart is timed up to the ticking clock of Ava's footsteps as she grows closer. Oh my gosh.
Hot.
The drama.
Ava's just walking up to the table and she's like,
He comes on both her hands and then tucks his dick away. As Ava drops the drinks at the table, he excuses himself to the restroom. Ava looks at Celine with a knowing eye and passes her hand sanitizer.
My girl.
Bitch, your hands stank.
The next morning, the captain tells her that they got the guy who broke into her apartment, so they change and head down to the station because, of course, he's going to go with her.
They're like, you don't even work here.
No.
Not yet. I'll apply. Here's my application. Here's my resume. Literally everything's on it.
Let me into that academy.
She gets to the interrogation room and Zav has to stay on the outside of the door. And she notices that the guy does not look like a criminal whatsoever. As she interrogates him, he is genuinely confused as to why he's there because he's never committed a crime before. Zav interrupts the interrogation by knocking on the door and pulls her aside saying that he's telling the truth. His heart rate isn't elevated like someone who's lying, so the kid has been compelled to do the break-in and compelled to forget about it.
Vampires.
She ultimately lets him go and knows that Zab must be right because she has a gut feeling that he really didn't do it intentionally. But she's not sure why a supernatural would be targeting her since she just found out they even exist. The kid leaves, she finishes the paperwork, and they step outside of the building, but Zab quickly scoops her up and panics and runs. He goes down a street into an alleyway, and there's the kid she just interrogated, dead on the sidewalk.
Murder!
No!
The next day, she tells Zab she wants to move back into her apartment since, unfortunately, the perpetrator was found. But he's nervous since she's clearly a target. So even though, yeah, that guy was found, who's to say someone else isn't gonna go in there and hurt her?
Yeah, literally.
She explains that she just wants her own space again, and he's clearly hurt, but helps her move her stuff back. It's her first night back and she misses him. She gets up when she can't sleep with the intention to go back over to his apartment. But when she opens the door, both him and Midnight fall into her apartment.
Oh, cute.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He kisses her and it quickly turns hot and heavy before he breaks the kissing, asking if she wants him. She does, and he asks if she touched herself earlier, thinking about him. She tries to lie and say no.
Liar. He immediately calls me out. I could hear you. His lips trail down my neck and I gasp when his fangs graze against the spot where my pulse beats steadily. Smell you. He inhales that spot of my neck and I shiver. And now I'm going to taste you. I'm going to taste your pussy.
He lays her on the bed and hovers over her, taking his shirt off before removing her sleep shorts. She's got no chonies on underneath.
Ow, ow! I'm so fucking hungry, baby. You have no idea. Oh my God, sorry. That was aggressive. Ow. He drops to his knees at the end of the bed. Been dreaming of this pussy for so long. So pink. So fucking wet. Just for me. The words are a lisp around his fangs. So pink. So fucking wet. But for me.
She's nervous about the fangs, but he says that he'll be careful. He then eats her out until she comes, but he's not done yet. He starts to finger her while kissing her, bringing her to another orgasm. Once she comes down from that second one, she pushes him to the side and asks if she can have a turn while staring at his massive boner. She gives him a blowjob, but he only lasts minutes before he comes, and then he starts to pull her breasts out and runs his fangs along them. She grabs a condom, and after it's on, he stares at her.
Is something wrong? I graze my fingers over his jaw. He shakes his head. No, I know you're about to ruin me. He pushes inside me, just an inch at a time, and I relish in the sensation. Fuck, he groans, lips pressing to my neck when he's all the way inside. Celine, this pussy is fucking divine.
Divine.
This reminds me of Candy Crush. Divine.
I never played Candy Crush.
I've never played Candy Crush.
Me neither.
I'm on Monopoly Go every day though, bitch.
The sex is amazing, obviously, and they both fall asleep. Throughout the night, they have sex multiple times. And then first thing in the morning, they also have sex. Once they finish, he makes her breakfast in bed.
Looking at Celine, I see her frozen in place, fork held in the air but not touching the food. It's a comical freeze frame with her jaw unhinged and eyes wide in shock. What is this? Her tone is hard, which has me weary. Pancakes? I reply earnestly. I fucking know that. This smiley face. I've seen it before. The cogs in her brain are spinning, and for a second, I don't know what she's getting at. Then I understand.
You stupid idiot. Why'd you do that?
He just wanted to make her smiley face pancakes.
He lets her know that he was going to tell her eventually and explains it's only bad guys. It's too much for her. She tells him that she needs space. She's barely registered that her boyfriend is supernatural, also her mate, and now a serial killer. She says she isn't rejecting him, but she needs time to think about this.
Fair.
That is fair. That's a lot to take in a week.
Yeah, it is.
She changes her clothes and tells him not to follow. And then she leaves.
And give me my cat back.
Watch downstairs at the sidewalk. He's like running a newspaper stand now.
On her walk, she runs into another vampire who is clearly intent to hurt her. She's able to slash him with the knife that Zav gave her and run, but is immediately intercepted by another one and then knocked out. Zav gives her minutes before he leaves to follow her. He wants to make sure she's okay, but he notices her scent trail becomes faint and he feels a jolt of terror through their bond. He takes off running, but her scent trail stops and only her knife is on the sidewalk. He does pick up another scent though, vampire blood, and he's furious. He calls Luna to put out a supernatural APB on Celine and tells her to report with any sightings. Celine wakes to a cold, dark cell, feeling like she got ran over. She knows Zav is going to find her, though, since he is her stalker. And then that's when she notices she's not alone.
Who's in there with you, girl?
She tests the bars of her cell when a voice says she should try to conserve her strength.
A crusty, musty old man appears.
And he's seen better days. She wonders how long exactly he's been there. He introduces himself as Valen and tells her that he's sorry for what's about to happen to her. He also tells her he isn't sure why they chose her, but everyone else who's been in that cell doesn't last one night.
Oh,
comforting.
Yeah. Thanks, Valen. That feels great.
Great pep talk.
Don't say that.
Zav and his contacts are not having any luck locating Celine, and he's becoming more panicked. He knows he needs to eat to keep his strength, so he heads back to the apartment. Once he arrives, midnight is acting strange, and the lights he turned off are now back on. He doesn't hear or smell anything, though, but when he walks through the kitchen, he's shocked to see her.
Oh.
It's Genevieve, and she was hoping that he would be happy to see his ex boo thing. So she is his crazy ex-girlfriend.
Genevieve. So is she a vampire?
She is. And she's a psycho.
Well, he's kind of psycho too.
Imagine how crazy you'd have to be for Zav to have to be like, whoa, back off.
He said, yeah. Ew.
Ick. Yeah.
He tells her that he wants Celine back, and she tells him, nope, but her and Celine have met and they're due for a chat. So she's got to go. As she goes to leave, he stops her, and as soon as he is about to hurt her, she tells him if she is hurt at all, his human will not last with what's about to happen. Genevieve tells Zav if he can give her what she wants, Celine won't get hurt, and Genevieve wants him back.
No.
Celine and Valen make small talk, and she learns that he's also a vampire, but he doesn't admit to how old he is. She tells them that he can feed from her to build his strength because the only way they're getting out of here is with help from him, because obviously super vampire strength. But he's been down there forever and he hasn't fed in who knows how long. But he's appalled that she would even offer it. She tells him it might be their only chance, and he takes her wrists. He feeds and shows control by stopping after only a couple minutes, which apparently is like very difficult.
Yeah.
Celine has no idea how much time has passed down in that cell, but she's fed Valen off and on, and they hear heels and a female voice approaching. It's Genevieve, and she lets Celine know that she is in this predicament because Celine has something that belongs to her. Celine thinks for a moment and realizes Genevieve is talking about Zav. Genevieve says that Zav is hers, and once Zav realizes that, then Celine is free to go, and then she leaves them in the dark.
It's been 1 week since Celine has been kidnapped by his crazy ex, and Zav hasn't seen Genevieve for 50 years, but he guesses that she's been keeping tabs on him if she knew that he was dating Celine.
Crazy bitch.
Zav sits in the apartment pondering what his next move is when Ava starts pounding on the door demanding to know why Celine has been ignoring her. Because he falsified an email and sent it to work and was like, I'm sick. So a whole week has gone by. No one's checked on her from work.
Jesus.
He finally lets Ava in and tells her what happened. He then has to explain how he's a vampire because she started rambling that she's about to be on a Dateline episode. Celine must be murdered and tied up in a closet somewhere. And he's like, no, bitch, I'm a vampire. Someone stole her.
Obviously.
She's surprisingly not too alarmed by this and wants to join in on helping him find Celine, which I was like, you're not surprised whatsoever to learn your best friend's boyfriend is a vampire and she also got stolen by vampires.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe it.
He says fine, but they're going to play by his rules to keep her safe because that's what Celine would want. The next day, he's walking down every single street trying to pick up her scent when Genevieve calls. He answers the phone and tells her, fuck off, and hangs up. Zav needs a break from all of the stress, so he goes to visit Tom. He knows a game of chess with his oldest friend will help calm him down. He gets the board ready and talks to Tom, but Tom is not answering. He's so distracted, he doesn't notice that Tom is literally dead.
Oh, that's so sad.
He jumps up to help Tom, thinking he's had a heart attack, and Tom's head quite literally falls off his body.
Tom!
Who killed Tom?
Zav knows that Genevieve did this. He cries and mourns his oldest friend when he sees a note from Genevieve, and now he's furious. The note says, she's next. Love, G.
Bitch!
He pushes through the anger and wraps Tom up under the cover of night, transporting him to a funeral home, and he compels the funeral director to call his family tomorrow, letting them know that Tom was in a tragic accident, so they can't see him in an open casket or anything like that, but he also pays for all of the funeral fees.
Aww.
Genevieve visits Celine and gives her a chess piece, letting her know that Tom was a warning, and if Zav doesn't become hers, she's next. And now Celine is like crying because obviously Tom is dead.
Yeah.
And she can't be there to comfort Zav or anything. Celine tells Genevieve that she would rather die than be used as a pawn against Zav. And Genevieve just doesn't even care at this point and beats the shit out of her.
Oh, catfight. Meow.
Yeah, except for Celine doesn't stand a chance.
Genevieve lets her know before she leaves that humans are trash and she will have Zav. Valen distracts Genevieve while Celine crawls to the open cell door. She doesn't make it far through the door before she's drugged back inside the cell. Then a huge, bulky vampire comes in, dragging Valen away. Genevieve leaves Celine alone, but Celine smiles to herself because she wasn't trying to escape. She put a pebble in the lock. So she's like, who's a dumb, trashy human now?
Stupid bitch. Gotcha.
She waits a bit, then tests the door. It swings open and she will be leaving this building with Valen. Both Zav and Ava spend their days searching for Celine with absolutely no luck. Ava has a light bulb moment and jumps up saying that, you know where they should go? Vex. She's like, Celine had a gut feeling. You know what? I think we should go off of it. Let's go back.
Smart girl.
Ava says they should go to Vex and not to the public part where everybody was dancing and stuff, to the one room where they kept trying to get information on but couldn't get into. Ava lets him know that Celine mentioned a lady named Genevieve who has ties to the club, and he's like, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, yeah,
God damn it.
I know who that is. Okay, we're gone. Let's go. Celine makes her way out of the cell, hoping to get Valen and get them out. And remember, she just got her shit rocked by a supernatural, super strength vampire. She's also been giving Valen blood, little bits at a time, every single day, for over a week. I don't know how she's standing.
I would be, like, crawling.
She grabs something from Valen's cell before going up the stairs. She's not doing good at all. And barely makes it up the stairs and through the door. She goes down a hall searching for him, and as she opens a door, she sees him strapped to a table with tubes on him, removing his blood. She helps get him free and then gets him to a freezer, which she just assumed had blood in it and was right, and then gives him the blood so he can replenish. She tells them that they're going to have to wing it for their escape, but he just squeezes her hand and says, see her on the other side. And then a new vampire comes into the room right as Valen rips his heart out.
Oh my God.
He grabs her and takes off as alarms start ringing out. They run down hallways looking for any exit they can find, and he stops, shoves her into a supply closet before fighting other vampires off. He's clearly winning, and she knows that he cannot be just some normal vampire. Like, there's something else going on.
What is he?
I don't know. They take off again, and he admits that he used a bit too much energy back there, and he is fading. Her adrenaline is also wearing off, and she's on the verge of passing out. Then they hear a voice say, well, 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 what do we have here? It's Genevieve.
God damn it. Genevieve.
Zav and Ava race to the club, and when he approaches the building, he does not slow down. He just puts an arm in front of Ava and crashes through it. They get out of the car, and he tells her to stay and wait for the cops, but she says, I have skipped work. I am hiding supernaturals, and we just did destruction of property and a break-in. You think I'm gonna hang out with the cops? No, absolutely not.
I'm coming with you.
He tells her that she is too important to Celine, so he will compel the cops to forget her involvement in any of this. She says okay, and he heads inside the building. Valen tells Genevieve to move, but then a whole bunch more vampires get behind her, and they're very outnumbered. Valen scoops up Celine and takes off back the way that they came, and she's like, no, I don't want to go that way. I want out of this fucking building. But he barricades them in a room and tells her to go through the air vent. She refuses to leave him, so he helps her climb up. Thankfully, he's skinny enough from not eating for who knows how long and climbs in after her. They unfortunately don't make it very far before the whole air vent collapses and they fall to the ground.
No!
He picks her up and they hear fighting in the distance, but he grabs her and they burst through another door. It opens up to the dance floor of Vex, and she sees Zab's car in the building and a mass of people gathered outside. Ava calls out her name and rushes to them. Valen drops her on her feet and disappears into the crowd. Ava tells her that she's been gone for 2 weeks and she has worked almost every day with Zav to track her down. Celine wants to find Zav, but Ava stops her, saying, fuck no, he's probably murdering everyone in there. Celine asks Ava to get her a blanket and some water. As soon as Ava's out of sight, Celine uses the last of her strength to rush back to help her man.
Girl, what can you do? Nothing.
Moral support.
I would just cheer and be like, you got this!
Rip his heart out!
She runs until she finds him standing there, spaced out, holding Genevieve's decapitated head.
Yeah!
She lets him know that she's here with him and safe. He drops the head and they hold each other. She tells him that she loves him and they can move forward from this. Zav runs them home and gets them in the shower. He washes her, cherishes the fact that she's safe with him, and then she washes him and finally breaks down in his arms. Once she's had her little mentee bee moment, which is well-deserved, they smooch and he carries her to bed. She tells him she wants to do whatever's needed to seal their mating bond and that she finally accepts it. She lets him know that she's not ready to turn into a vampire yet. That will be in the future, but she wants their bond now. He lets her know to do the bond, they each need to drink from one another. And it's like a weird amount. It's like 5 times each or some shit for like 2 minutes.
Oh.
He lies her on the bed, presses a kiss to her neck, and then bites her. He drinks, then stops, bites his own wrist, and offers it to her. They do the back and forth however many times it is, and then they feel their bond snap into place. They snuggle in bed and fall asleep, but only an hour later, Ava's pounding on the door demanding they let her in.
I would be so pissed.
I know, I'd be like, bitch, go home.
No, they just left her there.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Zav lets her in and she checks on Celine, sees she's okay, and goes to leave. But Celine and Zav offer her to take over Zav's lease and move into the apartment next door.
Fine.
Ava says, okay, I'll move all my stuff in later, but I'm going to go there now because I'm exhausted. They get back into bed and talk about their future and how it will look. It's 3 weeks later. Ava is moving the rest of her stuff into the apartment and presses Zav about how he even got this place when someone was currently living there. He doesn't answer and Celine says, did you kill Corey?
He did call her frigid.
He did.
He says, yes, but she's not listening anymore because Valen is standing in the front door. She hugs him and he apologizes for leaving her there the way that he did. He tells her that he needed time on his own, but decided he will be staying in Chicago. She tells him that he can stay with Ava, which, bitch, you just gave her that apartment. You can't just invite people to stay.
Yeah, no.
A vampire, no less, that you barely know.
Yeah.
And he's not even, he has to be something else, not only a vampire. She introduces the two of them, and as soon as they shake hands, he stops and declares Ava is his mate. The end.
Wow. Is there another book?
Yeah, and it's Ava and Valen's book.
Cute. I'd really like this one.
How many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give it 4.5.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good, good.
And do you think that Zav is sexy?
Yeah, he is. Sexy little vampire.
Yeah, just something about like a psychopathic little golden retriever boy.
Yeah with red hair.
And would you trade places with Celine?
Sure. It doesn't sound terrible.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about The Beast by Jenica Snow, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
It says, Monsters and Beauties, The Beast. And it's got a rose on it, so I think it'll be kind of like Beauty and the Beast. Possibly. I think a beautiful woman is going to go stay in a big, scary tower. And then there's going to be a beast that lives there. And she's going to help the beast. I don't really remember what happens in Sleeping Beauty or whatever the fuck movie it was. Beauty and the Beast. I don't really remember what happens in that movie because I didn't like it very much as a child. Not that this book could have nothing to do with that. I don't know why I'm going that hard for it. But I think they're going to have this like love-hate relationship. Maybe just like hate in the beginning. Then they're just like going to hit it off one day and build this beautiful budding relationship. But they're going to have some trials and they're going to have some tribulations.
Valid. Per usual.
How'd I do?
I will say it is just a smutty retelling of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, fuck yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.